for DJC.
JC, KO4ZEW, this is Ben. How you doing this morning?
Ben, how are you doing? Name is Jerry. I've heard you on a few times. I didn't know. I'm sure we've spoken in the past a time or two. It's going to be a nice day today. Looks good outside.
Spoken a couple times. I just turned on the radio, heard you on here. I'm going to get out and do some yard work in a little while, just finishing up some emails and things inside. I'd hop on the radio for a few minutes while I got a moment.
Born today, I think it's supposed to be in the mid-80s, I think, maybe. Something like that. I'm in Anderson, so I think they're saying 84 today, maybe. I'm not sure. It's going to be a little warm this afternoon to do any work outside, so if you get anything done, you better do it early or do it late. Ticket the guy cut my grass yesterday. It looks pretty good now. Maybe depending on how much rain we get, maybe the yard will continue to look halfway decent. But we've got a lot of weeds too. I didn't get mine early enough to. I missed pre-emergent stuff by about 2 weeks. I was about 2 weeks later because we had a warm winter this year, so I didn't get to catch that. So I'll have to do something this fall, maybe. Hopefully I catch it early enough next year to keep some of this junk out of it.
Starting the yard work, probably not too long here. I've got some grass to cut and some brush to haul, so I'll try and finish that up before the heat of the afternoon. I hadn't checked the weather yet, except looking out the window.
Today, and Tuesday was pretty nice Tuesday, a little windy Tuesday. We had to go over to Greenville Middle to watch my granddaughter play soccer. There was an away game there. She's at Fisher. And it was really, really hot over there. I mean, it was windy. It was uncomfortable. It was dry, blowing pollen everywhere. Their field's kind of down in the hole. So you either got to sit up in the bleachers, 50 feet away from the bottom of the field, from the field level, or either walk down 50 steps to get there. We walked down and sat down at the field so we could see a little better. But it was kind of a tough haul up and down those stairs for old folks.
Right, I'll bet. I've got to get up on the roof and get my dipole up another couple of feet. I'm dreading doing that because I'll probably have to do that in the morning. I have it hanging from roof level. It's doing pretty good, but the house is in the way on the western side. So I'm getting South America and Europe really well, but I'm not getting a lot of contact in Asia or Australia. So I think the house is blocking the signal a little bit. Just theory of this so far, but I think if I can get another 5 or 6 feet above the roof line, it'll be clear in every direction, and then get some of that ground radiation out of the way.
It was just a straight dipole, regular dipole, not an inverted V or slope or anything like that. I think you have to move away. I'm not much on wire antennas. I never really use them. I use mostly verticals. I worked that shift. My next door neighbor moved in last fall, and he's a ham. He just put his antenna up a couple of months ago. He's got a vertical. Can't remember the name, but it's a real nice. It's just a straight vertical, and the radials. He got a radio kit for it. It's got a tuner too. I wish I could remember the name of it. It was a fairly expensive antenna. It's fold over, and I think it is about 31 feet tall. But it didn't have any traps on or anything like that. But he's got about 40 copper radios running out. And got all that stuff straightened out. He gets good radiation battery, but he is awful close to his house and close to the neighbor's fence, but he still does pretty well. He's working into Europe pretty well, but again, we're kind of a low area too. We're only about 700 feet above sea level. There's a bunch of obstructions in the way here. But he's really doing pretty well with this. He's working, he's only working around 100 watts now, but he got an amp ordered, I think 1,000-watt amp ordered, but it's going to be, I think he said it'd be 6 or 8 months or something before the guy, I think some guy building him or something. I can't remember, I don't remember the name of it, but it sounds like a pretty decent amp, but he's going to go and get a 1,000-watt amp and helping that way. But he could hear a lot of, you know, he could hear, you know, the African, you know, some of the stuff in Africa, like Saudi Arabia and that sort of thing. But he can't work them. He doesn't have quite enough power.
No, I can understand that. When I'm using FT8, I get an occasional report from Japan or Australia. I did work Angola, which is in Western Africa, so that was pretty exciting. But that way, you know, using FT8, I'm able to go on PSK Reporter and see where my signals have been picked up and reported. It has a 3-minute refresh time, but it takes about 10 minutes to get the reports all refreshed. So I'm using that, and just based on my logs, to figure out, okay, I'm hitting heavy South America, North America, Europe, but not getting much in Asia. I mean, the occasional report from India, Singapore, Japan, and I've got an ICOM 9300, no amp on it or anything. I run it at 90. I don't want to max it out when I do FT8, but it's really fun. But I got to get that thing up a little higher, get it so it's above the house, out of the way of the house, and it's gonna be hot working up there.
Six each, Bayless. Break in there a second, man.
I'm just lamenting the heat of getting up on top of the roof, and then over on the eave, mounting a bracket and getting that off. It's an off-center fed dipole. It's one of those Maxcons that Steve is always raving about, and I can see why now that I have one.
First time I used a vertical, I used the Live Rock Hill, and I used the clubs. They got a really nice station there then, but back in those days, it was kind of only a couple of miles from my house. I'd go down to the club station. We had one of the guys in the club was a radio technician for a local radio show, actually an amateur radio store there in Rock Hill. I operated for quite a few years. It's closed quite a few years ago now. I guess this is back in the early 80s, and sometimes they put a Alpha 77 DX in there, and we could run, 1,500 out on that. But I'm mostly with CW, and the next door neighbor was running a 7,300. He's a CW. I don't think he's trading FT8 yet. If he used FT8, he could probably make some of those contacts, I guess. But he's not doing any phone at all. He's like me, I think he let his license lapse and got a new call now, but I've been licensed, about 44 years this year, I guess.
My extra this past Saturday, and that was on the 1-year anniversary of my technician. I got technician April last year, and then general in July, and then extra this April. So, the Rock Hill Club. I mean, I went to school at Winthrop and stuff, but I know you talking about the York County Club up there, because they're a pretty big deal.
I was club president up there twice when I was living. I lived in Rock Hill for almost 15 years. I worked at Springs, and my wife was a manager, apartment manager for Northwoods Apartments when the Normans owned it. Warren and Ralph and all that bunch. We've known them for years and years. And I was president of that club president, vice president, I think, a couple of years. President once or twice, and vice president a couple of times. We always had a big deal. Back in those days, the club station was down in where the old Beatty Mall is or was, and now they got a new place out there, and it's just phenomenal. It's always been a really active club. I was telling one of the guys here in Anderson that they were talking about working field day. We worked field day, multi-op field day, and a lot of times we'd have 7,000-8,000 contacts during field day at least.
Impressive what I read about them, and if I ever get that way up again, I'd love to see their setup. When I was there in Winthrop, I mean, this was the beginning of computing was really in its infancy in the early 90s. So I was kind of in the bulletin board scene around then. With the dial-up modems and stuff, and, you know, we'd go to the sysop houses in the evenings and hang out and, you know, trade the real software, quote. And, you know, so there was, I was in the, I guess, the microcomputing community instead of the ham community at the time I was up there.
Friend, Pete Friend, he's, I can't remember his call now. He was in advance back in those days. He got one of the first TRS-80s I'd seen, and he was running bulletin board stuff up there then. We lived there from about 1978 until 93, I guess. Then, and my daughter graduated from Winthrop. We'd already moved back here to Anderson, but she decided she wanted to go to Winthrop. She graduated from Winthrop, and she works at WYFF. She's been up there for quite a few years. She's an assistant news director there. And she told me, after they offered her a job before she graduated, which is really unusual, but she's been a producer. She wasn't a reporter. She's always been an associate producer, and now she's assistant news director.
Was she there for journalism?
She had a mass communications degree. I remember my boss at the time, we already moved to Anderson where she started in Winthrop, and he said, well, she'll never get a job. And I said, well, we'll see. And she interned with them here at Channel 4, and after she interned, she had had about 2 weeks before graduation to offer her a job. And I told him, I guess it depends on the person rather than the degree. But she replaced Lee Brown. Lee had been at WYFF for about 40 years, I guess. He retired not long ago, his assistant news director. And she enjoyed working there. She works kind of long hours. And my son-in-law was, he was a sportscaster at YFF for a long time, too, Bob Mahalik. He's working for Greenville County now. But that's how they met. So anyway, they're in Greenville now. We've got a couple of grandkids, so we go back and forth. I haven't been back to Rock Hill a long time, though, Ben. It was the last time I went up through there was for a funeral, and I swear to God, I didn't even recognize some of the roads anymore.
The growth of Charlotte, the growth of school. It's completely changed. They've moved roads around. 77 between Charlotte and Rock Hill is like an 8-lane freeway or something. I mean, the place has just exploded because people come to Charlotte for work with the banking industry, and they'd leave in South Carolina for the tax break and work in Charlotte and, you know, make 6 figures and 7 figures. So Rock Hill just exploded. I haven't been up there since the early 2000s. I was floored then when I went through there. I can't imagine what it looks like now.
In 2 or 3 years since we've been up there, and it was just, I could imagine it. We actually lived in Fort Mill the last 4 years we were there, I guess, 4 or 5 years. But of course, my wife was still working for Ralph and Rock Hill then. But they built a new middle school right below our house in Fort Mill. And we drove by there. I didn't even recognize the place. I said, where did that school come from? They got a big, it's either middle or elementary school, not too far from the former golf course. But, we loved it up there. We said many times that if we didn't have family down here this year, we probably would have stayed there and moved back up there, you know, after we retired. But, we had a good time when we were there, but the place is just unrecognizable now. And the traffic is worse than Greenville by a long shot. But we really enjoyed the place. She enjoyed her. We enjoyed going to Winthrop. But I started working on my MBA, and I decided it wasn't worth the effort to get it for what I was doing. It would have been wasted on me, I suppose. But the company would pay for it, but I still didn't think it would help me out. I was in manufacturing, but anyway, it's been a long time, but it's still really changed. And you're talking about the banking industry. Son-in-law's sister and brother-in-law, they live in Charlotte, and he was working for Bank of America. They were originally from Boston. and moved down to the Charlotte area when her parents moved down here. Both of them are gone now, unfortunately, but they retired down here. They already retired, moved down here to be closer, just to get out of the, they were living in Pennsylvania at the time, just to get out of all the snow and stuff up there. His sister and brother-in-law moved down in. He was working for Bank of America. He had a big, he still got a big job with Wells Fargo, I think, but he was handling, you know, loans for the oil industry and, you know, big stuff, you know, where multi-million dollar type of things that he was making. I mean, I'm sure he makes plenty of money, but Boston, they love it down here. One of his sons is going to school at Clemson. The other one may go here, may not. And my son's other brother, both his girls are going to Clemson, and they've actually lived in Virginia. He works for some defense contractor in the D.C. area, I think. They love it down here.
Everybody seems to love it down here. I did a contract up in Connecticut just recently, mid-10, a year and a half. I loved, you know, being up in New England, that whole area. I was in Hartford, so I was like midway between New York City and Boston. And I was like, man, this is fantastic. You have four seasons a year. You get snow. I mean, there's so much American history around there and stuff. And then, but because of the taxes and the snow and ice, everybody wants to come down here. I took one look at the taxes, the state taxes in Connecticut. I said, there's no way I can afford to live up here. It's just not comfortably. And everybody there is like, yeah, we're trying to get out of here. We're trying to get out of here. And they'll take the, you know, they'll sell a two-bedroom, $750,000 house, and they'll come down here, buy a half-million house with five bedrooms and three bathrooms for the same money.
What most of the people here in this subdivision, a lot of the people here, you know, this is an older subdivision, they got some new housing in here too. A lot of the people have passed away, and a lot of the guys, one of my neighbors across the street from New York, and a couple of them are from, you know, from Michigan and Ohio and places like that. But one of my early bosses I worked with when I was recruited out of Milligan he was originally from Connecticut. He was probably my age, you know, I started out when I was 22 or something like that. And he was from Connecticut, and he was telling me, this has been back in 74, 73, 74, and he was telling me how expensive it was even then. You know, the taxes were, it is beautiful up there, but gosh, you have to, I was talking to one guy not too long ago, maybe 2 years ago. There was somewhere up, it was either Connecticut or Rhode Island. I'm not sure which one of the states it was. It might have been Connecticut, but he was telling me how expensive his property taxes were. I said, good grief. I said, he asked me how much mine were. I said, I'm ashamed to tell you. I said, but my property taxes, I don't have a very big house. That's my property taxes with my senior citizen thing of about $500 a year. He said, $500 a year? He said, you kidding? I said, no. but like you said, all the low taxes really bring people here. And the climate's pretty good, too. It's a lot of people like to have four seasons, prefer maybe North Carolina, you know, in the mountains and that sort of thing. But it's not bad.
I grew up here, and I just hate the humidity in the summertime. That's what beats me up. But but the growth from, like, when I was a kid in the 70s, until now, and you know, especially the explosion in the 90s when BMW moved in. I mean, it's just been insane. You talk about Charlotte. I had a buddy out in Indian Land, down 521, and he had a little trailer out there. I mean, it was middle of nowhere. We could step out on the back porch and shoot guns. Nobody cared. And you up there now in 520? I said, at the time, I mean, this was late 90s. I said, this place is going to be worth a fortune. If I had the money, I'd buy every piece of property I could along this highway. And sure enough, I mean, it's all neighborhoods with million-dollar homes and development now, and it's just exploded. And I guess to Charlotte, North Carolina, well, northwestern North Carolina mountains, upstate South Carolina, we're relatively disaster-free, and I think that's part of the draw is we don't have snowstorms and the hurricanes don't beat us up. We get the occasional tornado. No earthquakes. So it's pretty nice. The Appalachians kind of shield us from a lot of the bad weather. Tennessee kind of takes the brunt of it. And so, a lot of advantages being here.
About that 521, one of my first cousins is Rich from Pensacola. He was a Georgia Tech graduate in engineering. He had a major job with the North Carolina DOT. That was his whole career, I guess. And they'd lived, all over the place in North Carolina, Wilmington, and then I can't remember the other town, someplace up in not too far from Burnsville. I don't remember the name of the town then. And they lived in Burlington and other places, and they moved to Rock Hill. And he and his wife, and actually his daughter and son, were all living up there. Now his son, lives here in Anderson now, and he does some work surveying work, or does something, I can't remember, but it's a pretty lucrative thing. But he lives in Rock Hill, and he lives in one of the Del Webb resorts, and they're building another house. And he's waiting to move into the other house now. And it's like, those houses are, when they first built them, they were like, $250,000, $300,000. Those houses are $500,000, $600,000 now. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's doing that here, too. My first house that I bought, I was working at the GE plant at the time, so I bought a house over here in Malden by the high school, actually a townhouse. I was like, I'll bet with ICAR moving in, this is going to be something. So I lived there for a while, and then met my wife. We moved into her family home in Simpsonville, about 2.5 miles away, and ended up renting out the townhouse. So the townhouse, it's kind of the girls' college fund. I could say, well, I can sell it, and you two have this much to split between you. Anything else you got to get on your own. But its value is up 2.5 times, at least according to Zillow right now. And I get hit up, every 2 or 3 days with somebody wanting to buy it, even though it's not for sale, especially with that Bridgeway station and the new footbridge going across the highway and the development going in over there. I'm going to sit on it for a while and wait till that stuff gets fully up to speed. About that to be the time the girls would be ready for college, and I can't really project what it's going to be worth at that time.
Yeah, the income stream coming from it too, and of course the housing, just like anything else, you can have a bubble in it. But right now they just can't build enough. We just bought our house for nothing almost back in the mid-90s, but the house next door to us is. Probably about, my house is only about 1,600 square feet, 3 bedrooms with 2 bedrooms upstairs and master downstairs. It's fine for us since we're retired. But the house next door is a little bit bigger house. It's probably 1,800 square feet, but it's sold for $340,000, and it's not on the lake. And the one down, not too far down the road from us, it was a new build, and it just sold for it's all it does have lake frontage. It just sold for $675,000. I said, I could get a decent price for my house, but the problem is, I'd just be swapping paper, and I'd probably get in a neighborhood that's not very desirable. Maybe who knows? So we're just sitting on it till we have to do something, till we have to move out because of our age. But I'd hang on any property you own that's got an income stream coming out of it. I'd leave it alone because it's just like I said, it may not be worth as much 10 years from now, but you don't have any idea. It could double. because, you know, people keep moving here, and as long as they keep flooding here from the northeast and Midwest, those houses up there are just so much more expensive there than they are here. That picture is a great buy down here, and it is in comparison.
Exactly. I mean, my place is, the townhouse is two bedroom, two bath, but the advantage is it's all one floor. So I'm renting it out to this older lady who's widowed, and she said, I don't want to do, she sold her house, I don't want to deal with the house, I just want to play bridge with my friends and cut you a check once a month. And I said, yeah, fine with me. So it's paid off, and, you know, it's $1,000 a month coming in from it. So it's taking care of itself. It's making a little bit, like I said, that I can put towards college fund, and but totally hold it, because a lot of people are like, oh, it's a great time to sell your house. But like you said, you're just swapping paper. You still got to have a place to live. KO4ZEW for ID.
N4DJC. I mean, we thought several times about getting something on one level. When we moved here, me and both our kids were in school. So it was ideal to have two bedrooms upstairs and have a master downstairs. Now the stairs are a little harder for me to get up and down. I got my 2 meter rig set up here for the indoor antenna, so I come up here to get on the radio. It's just convenient for that. And it's just not a whole lot of house to maintain. We always thought about getting a two bedroom, maybe one of these patio homes, but the only ones that are available either exorbitantly expensive or older than the house we're in now, and at least we've been keeping this one up. You don't know what kind of upgrades you have to do when you do that, and I'm not gonna update everything here in the house, you know, put new carpet in or flooring or whatever, and then sell it and, you know, break even on what you spend on. That's kind of crazy. I think we'll just stay here, you know, do our upgrades we want, and do what we need to do, and then either sell it or whatever when it gets to the point where I can't stay here anymore. I'm just turned 72 years old this year, so who knows how much longer that might be, but no need to jump on anything right now. But and of course it's paid for, so we don't have any debt or anything like that. But it's just a quiet subdivision. But these houses, just about everything's going up in the Greenville area. I don't see anything but under $300,000, $350,000.
We're in is a three bedroom ranch, and we're not in the neighborhood. I have my common tripod on top of the house. I've got the dipole on the side. I want to get my disc gun back up. I'll probably just put it up in the attic. I want to just like keep playing with my scanning software and stuff. So Steve and a couple of other guys are like, you're gonna end up with a tower, and I'm like, I will not consider it.
This guy's got next door, I mean, it's a good, yeah, vertical. You got a little bit better radiation angle with it. The way he's got it set up is really nice. It's got his tilt over so you can work on it. But you don't need to do it. It's got, I think the wind, it'll handle up to about 90 or 95 mile an hour wind. It just kind of flexes. It looks like a big fishing boat with aluminum. And he can get some 80 meters with it. But, of course, a wire antenna would be better for receiving for 80. But, if you want to work those Japanese and those Asian countries and Australia, you know, if you hadn't been on 15 or, you know, keep an eye when 10's open, 15's open. That's when, you know, I worked most of that stuff years ago when the bands were open on 10 and 15 meters. There's like nothing. Any day I could work anybody in Japan or Australia or South Africa, anything, you know, any place into that part of Asia, Southeast Asia.
There it was.
Good evening, gentlemen. KO4NUE. Hello, Jerry. Gentlemen, I was listening to your antenna dilemma. If you have time, go to YouTube and type in Hightower Fabrication. There's an 8-minute video there for you guys, and maybe that'll help you out. Hightower Fabrication, and the title is How to Put Up an Antenna Up to 50 Feet Plus. Take a look at it. Maybe that's helpful. Jerry, nice talking to you, bud. I'm going to clear on out. I'm glad to hear you on the radio, sir. KO4NUE, clear.
Well, that is about it.
Good hearing from you. I haven't been on radio much. I just heard through the call out and got talking to Ben here. We've been having a good conversation. Hope you're doing, you and Anna are doing well and everything's going well for you. But just haven't been on recently. Had some health issues and about to get that stuff straightened out, I think. Then I'll let you pick it up. Then I think I'm going to have to get out of here in a second. I think my wife's got some stuff I need to do. Anyway, good talking to you this morning. 73N4DJC, I'll be clear after you.
Good to talk to you this morning, Jerry. Pulled up a familiar face on raising antenna to 50 feet plus. I'm going to check that out. And I'll catch you on down the log, too. So I'm going to give this watch, and the KO4 is the EW. I'll be clear.
BLL, KO4NUE. Good evening, Leroy. How are you, sir?
How are you doing this afternoon or this morning, KO5WLO?
Hey, I'm Shaq, and got to ride up to the post office and get some, check the mail. I got a package come in, so they own me. Want me to come get it.
Better do that before they send it back. I just got done dropping off at O'Neill Camp. I did some tree cutting for a neighbor this morning, so getting rid of it and some other things while I was hauling it. Just out running around the backside of O'Neill's camp area.
Well, you having a good day enjoying this weather?
Good weather today. Figured I'd get it done early before it got hot, though.
Get up in the 80s today, so here he comes.
After that, all those that have been complaining about the cold, they better get ready now. It's coming.
All right, bud. Well, let me clear on out of here then. And just heard you in there and thought I'd drop by and say hello to you. KO4NUE, KA5WLL, KO4NUE, 73, sir.
Have a good day, and make sure you get the post office. KA5WLL, mobile clear.
Texas Mobile on.
Texas Mobile, I believe it was. KA5WLL, mobile, good morning.
Good morning. You're a little scratchy there, but I caught it.
Low area on the other side of Paris Mountain from the repeater, so I might barely be making their machine right now, so I'm kind of in the shadow.
Yep, you're on the other side of Paris, you're definitely in the shadow. I'm right here in Greer, I'm on 290, just leaving Ingalls, heading back to the house.
Not terribly far from each other. I just left O'Neill Camp dropping off the tree. I'm dropping down to the whole house.
Gotcha.
How are you doing today, sir?
Doing good. Just, like I say, heading back to the house. Had a service call this morning and had to come to Ingalls and pick a few things up for the missus and I, and I'm heading home.
Name here is Leroy, by the way. I don't know if I caught yours or not. Was it Jerry, I think you said?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Name here is Dave. Calls are KB2HXS. Some people call me different names, and I can't mention those on air. And I'm sure if Steve is listening, he'll chime in with some derogatory statement.
Here's Leroy. I understand the different names. As long as you don't call me late to eat, I usually don't care too much.
I kind of fall in that same category. Don't call me late for supper. I'll be good. But, yeah, I'm. We're up here out of Florida about 3 years now. We're halfbacks, and I catch a lot of grief for it on the radio. So they tell me all kinds of stuff. I talk too fast or something like that. So I don't take offense to it anymore, or any less.
And I'm originally from Oklahoma. I've been here since '92, so it's the five call. But, I understand what you mean there on the talk too fast.
Hey, you got to have a laugh once in a row, right, Leroy?
So, Yeah, I was telling Chad there a minute ago, I just got done cutting a tree for a neighbor, or a smaller tree for a neighbor, was hauling some of the brush off, so dropped it off at O'Neill Camp, now I'm heading back towards the house.
Very good. Where do you call home? What part of town?
Taylor's area.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I live right in Greer, right off of 14 here. I guess you call it the west side of Wade Hampton. I'm up that way, a couple of traffic lights. And then I got a good friend of mine, Jimmy, M4MMW. He lives down here in Greer. In Taylor's. In fact, we got a job scheduled to do an install down there next week.
I'm not far from Main Street Taylor's, over off East Lee Road, so I'm pretty much downtown what you'd call Taylor's, I guess, over.
Yeah. There's the old factory over there. I forget what the road it's on, but they got the train museum is in there, and they got a brewery, and I forget the other little restaurant. We go over there from time to time.
That's the old Taylor's Mill, Blue Tree. They used to be a pretty active mill back in the day. But yeah, they let it go downhill a little while, and then over the last several years they've been bringing it back. And there's a lot of good places there in that mill area now. I'm glad to see they didn't let it go into demise.
Oh, I love what they've done with the place. You know, we go over there and eat from time to time. They have axe throwing. We haven't done the axe throwing just yet, but we've been to the train museum a few times, and we're fixing to take the grandkids over one of these days and let them see the trains. They're like Pop-Pop's trains, but man, they haven't seen trains until they go to that museum. Wow, they got a lot of stuff in there.
Well, since I've been over to the train area, but yeah, they were going to start selling. I guess they had some extra donations for a while, and the stuff that they had extra, they were looking at refurbishing and getting it ready for resale to make a little bit of money for the museum. But I don't know if they ever did that or not. But yeah, that bleach tree was, like I said, it was kind of gone downhill a little while. But the Taylor's, Main Street Taylor's organization, they've kind of revitalized it quite a bit.
Oh yeah, they got a whole little separate room off to the side. They have all kinds of little bits and pieces and parts. And I've bought some stuff from them. I bought a bunch of cars and bought a building last year. And they've been selling stuff for quite a little bit here. In fact, I need to go back there and get some more. I always like to add to the trains, you know.
Do you collect them or?
I'm sorry.
I guess you collect trains or whatever.
Yeah, I've got a setup. I've got a 4x8 sheet of plywood. I've got a permanent set of tracks attached to it, and we bring it out for Christmas, and we set it up and everything. And it's just nice every year we add another building or another car. This past year I bought an engine and tender setup. Not from the train museum, from someone locally up in Duncan. But, otherwise, yeah, no, it's kind of a hobby.
I kind of got into it for a while and then got busy with life and kind of got out of it. I donated a bunch of stuff to them over the past several years. But nothing compared to the setup that they got or currently or what they did have when I was there last. I know they had several people that donated the entire sets, and it would take up a full 2-car garage on some of those sets.
Oh my gosh, but some of the stuff is, I mean, detailed. Wow. Man, that would take me the rest of my life to make some of that stuff. Anyway, Leroy, I'm getting close to the house here. Just wanted to say hello in 73, and we will catch you another day, another way, and all that kind of happy stuff. You have a good day, sir. KB2HXS, forgive me, I forgot your call. Over to you, sir.
No problem, Dave. You have a safe day and a good day. KA5WLL, mobile will be clear.
WLL, Whiskey Lima Lima, is that it?
Yes, Whiskey Lima Lima.
All right, and then 73, KB2HXS.
73. 4DJW, KA5WLL, are you around, Dave? Dave. Took your advice and went to the transfer station this morning. Ward did some tree work for a neighbor and cut a tree down for her and had some other stuff I need to haul, so I went on over there this morning and thought of you. And Tuesdays and Friday, Saturdays is busy days for them. Anyways, I thought I'd give you a holler. You have a good day, sir. K-A-5-W-L-F.
All right, you too. Good talking to you. Leroy, stay safe out there. K-A-5-W-L-L, W-4-D-J-W, clear.